Welcome to the Well Studying Podcast. This is episode 81. It's February 1st, 2015. I'm your host, John Pugliano. I'm also the founder and money manager at investablewealth.com. Here at the Well Studying Podcast, my goal is to teach you about the 10 wealth building principles, which I believe can help you build not only your net worth, but more importantly, your personal freedom. If you're not familiar with my 10 wealth building principles, go back and listen to the first 10 episodes of this podcast. That's where I lay out the foundation and my philosophy of the principles that helped me build my net worth and my financial independence over these last nearly 30 years. Well, in today's episode, I want to jump right into a market review. I've been promising to have an episode where we talked about some of my observations and commentary as to what's going on in the stock market. I also want to make you aware of a change that I've recently made in my portfolio. Well, if you've been paying any attention to the stock market at all, I don't have to tell you that January has been an extremely volatile month, and when you start the year off that way, that's generally a bad omen, although we can't put 100% faith in that concept. It is something to watch for. I would expect that the volatility will continue most likely through at least the first half of this year. We'll have to wait and see for sure. But one thing we know is that the month of January was just a very up and down market with switchbacks occurring either every day or every trading session or so. We saw the market start out the year with extreme volatility. Within the first couple days of the year, the market had fallen precipitously. It had broken through its 50-day moving average. It fell hard. It fell in high volume. And then a few days later, just a few sessions later after that, the market reversed and rose back up and shot up in a stellar fashion, going up with all the conviction and force that it had dropped. It not only bridged the 50-day moving average, but it shot high above it. And then the next few days of trading, actually a couple weeks of trading, we saw the markets plunge again in even more volume. And then likewise, we saw the next week of trading where the market shot back up again, blew past its 50-day moving average, but then only stayed there for a day or so. And then that takes us to this past week of trading, this last week of January, where we saw the recovery fail. We saw the S&P 500 break below its 50-day moving average and not only come through the 50-day moving average, but in very large volumes. It fell down to levels below the 2000 mark, which has been a pretty good resistance level, and if nothing else, is just a psychological support level because it's just a nice round hole number. So on Friday, the market closed out the month at 1995. Just below that 2000 psychological mark, but well below its 50-day moving average, and only about 1.5% or so above the 200-day moving average, which is right around 1977 or so. So as I say, it's been an extremely volatile month, switchbacks occurring every few sessions. There's been no real way of being able to know whether the market was going to break above its 50-day moving average and go on to new highs because it has been making record highs consistently, or whether it would eventually drop below that 2000 mark and then crush down deep below its 200-day moving average. It just hasn't done any of that. It's just been trading and hovering in a range pretty much right around 2060 on the upper end. It's hit that level about twice in the last month. And then about three times, it's broken down below that 2000 level, right around 1980, 1990, somewhere in that range. So twice it's gone up, breaking above its 50-day moving average, but hitting resistance there around 2060 and unable to get above that. And then three times breaking down, but then always finding support just below that 2000 mark. So what will happen this week? I have no idea. We're well into earnings season. And really what we're finding out in earnings season shouldn't surprise anybody. It's what we've been talking about for months. We're seeing the chickens come home to roost on the fact that the U.S. dollar has risen and appreciated so much over the last year, and also because of the effects of lower petroleum prices. As we said, long-term, lower petroleum prices would be absolutely good for the consumer and probably better off for the overall economy. I mean, think about it. Anytime you can pay less for energy, that's a good thing. And remember, everything in the economy is driven by energy. Everything. There's nothing that moves unless it's propelled by energy. And that's electrons that are going and shooting through the internet, or that's big 18-wheeler trucks that are delivering produce and groceries to the supermarket. Everything in this economy, from the information-based side of it, to the service sectors of our economy, to the big heavy industrial end of our economy, everything runs off of energy. So ultimately, lower energy prices are good for everybody. But in the short term, there are some bumps along the road. Obviously, lower energy prices are going to have at least a short-term, if not a mid-term, impact on energy companies. Those are the companies that explore for oil. Those are the companies that drill for oil. Those are companies that bring the oil to market and refine it into gasoline. Anytime you have lower prices, it means that they're going to have lower margins. Lower margins means lower profits. That also has a collateral effect or a spinoff effect, because over the past 5 or 6 years, the one bright spot in the recovery of this economy has been the energy sector. So it's been the oil companies, particularly these wildcatter companies, that have been going out and drilling in areas of the Bakken in North Dakota or out in West Texas. These are the companies that have been spending a lot of money on capital investment. They're drilling holes in the ground. They're putting pipes in the ground. They're buying large pieces of equipment to move earth, to pump out the oil. A significant amount of the capacity of railroads and trucking companies have been dedicated to the energy sector to bring the oil out of these regions of the country, because there haven't always been pipelines there to haul the oil out. So that's created a lot of spin-off investment. For example, you know, many steel companies have been supplying a lot of products into this energy sector, because that's where the investment's been. And then consequently, since we're seeing prices come down, not as much new exploration, that results in lower capital investments by these energy producers. And so the steel companies, the railroads, the trucking companies, they consequently have their earnings impacted as well, and they lay their employees off like we're seeing in the oil fields. So it's a trickle-down effect. Well, with the announcement of fourth quarter earnings, and then these energy sector companies and these collateral companies giving guidance on where they think they're going to end up for first quarter of this year, as well as the first half of 2015, those estimates are all down. That's been one of the things that's been driving the volatility in the stock market, because the energy sector alone probably makes up something like 15% or more of the S&P 500. So that's a negative impact on earnings. And remember, the ultimate thing that drives the price of a stock or the price of an index is earnings. It always comes down to earnings expectations. So if companies are projecting lower earnings for the future, then you can be assured that prices will most likely fall. And that's one of the things we're seeing right now. Now, the other major impact, and again, this is no surprise, we've been talking about it for a long time, and that's the effect that the higher dollar is having on multinational companies and on U.S. companies that export outside the United States. You see, companies that export outside the United States, with the dollar appreciating 15% or more, it makes their products more expensive when they want to sell them in France or in Turkey or in Vietnam. So that puts U.S. manufacturers that export at a disadvantage. That also affects just multinational companies in general. For example, this would impact even like a service company like Google that doesn't actually create a physical product, but they would have operations in overseas markets. And when they make money, for example, again in France or in Vietnam, since the US dollar is appreciating, but they're billing and charging their clients in those countries in their own local domestic currency, that means when they repatriate, when they bring those profits back to the United States, and they change them into dollars, they get an exchange rate disadvantage, and consequently their profits go down. Now, we know that about half of the profits that are generated from the S&P 500 come from outside the United States. And so you can understand how this negative impact of the strong dollar is hurting profits of the big blue chip companies that are in the S&P 500 index. Again, that's why we're seeing the lower earnings, not only for the last quarter of 2014, but then also the guidance that these companies are giving for the first quarter and the first half of 2015. Now, the impacts of the stronger dollar and the impacts of the lower energy prices, these things aren't going to last forever. They're eventually going to taper out. But you need that stability to get back into the marketplace so that earnings and so that prices can stabilize. That hasn't happened yet. It'll probably take, 3 to 6 months at least. And that's as long as the dollar doesn't keep rising and oil prices either don't keep going down or don't pop back up drastically. And I think eventually, here in the next couple months, we will see some type of equilibrium both in the US dollar and in oil prices. And if we don't, then we're going to see this continued volatility happening throughout 2015 and into 2016. No one has any way of knowing for sure. And that's why we don't ever buy and hold just one thing. We watch the markets. We see what's going up. We see what's going down. We try and discern trends and patterns, and then we adjust our portfolio accordingly. And that's why I've spent basically the entire month of January pretty much out of stocks. We knew the big companies like Procter & Gamble, Johnson & Johnson, Caterpillar, these are big multinationals, these are big exporters, These are companies that offer a good dividend and have performed well in recent years, but we knew that they would be impacted by the stronger dollar. We obviously knew that the big companies like Chevron and ExxonMobil, again, companies that pay a good dividend and companies that have performed well over the past couple years, we knew they would be getting hit by the weaker oil prices. But you see, it hasn't been limited to those types of companies. Just this past week, we saw both Google and Amazon. Now, these are companies that because of the high-tech nature of what they do, they're pretty resilient, and you don't see them necessarily follow the same patterns that you'd see from an old stodgy company like, you know, Procter & Gamble. But even this past week, Google and Amazon both came out and said that although their sales and profits are going along pretty well, they are too being impacted by the U.S. currency exchange rates and the stronger U.S. dollar. So you see, we're seeing this impact spread throughout the economy, and it's really hard to see where you can hide. And we're even seeing this occur with a company like Apple, which is doing extremely well overseas despite the strong U.S. dollar. They're doing very well in China. They announced just absolutely stellar, historic earnings performance this week. And although their stock has closed up for the week and up for the month, it still suffered a pretty steep decline on Friday. We live in very turbulent, tough times. Now, while I've stayed out of the market for the most part all during the month of January, this past week as we closed out the month, I did make some changes in my portfolios that I manage, and I've moved a significant amount of money primarily into some overseas markets. Now, I'm not going to go into specifics at this time and tell you exactly what I did, but I did do this via U.S.-based exchange-traded funds. So I bought into U.S.-traded exchange-traded funds that focus on stock indexes of particular foreign countries. And I'm not randomly just investing in Europe, or I'm not randomly just investing in emerging markets. I specifically tried to target my investments into countries that I thought had companies that would be favored by the exact same trends that we're seeing that are negatively impacting these large U.S. companies. So basically, I'm trying to invest in the reciprocal of what's hurting the U.S. economy. So I'm trying to invest in 180 degrees fashion, out of phase with what's going on with Johnson & Johnson and Procter & Gamble and Caterpillar. So what I mean by that is I'm investing in these foreign countries that are in particular exporters into the United States, and also countries that don't have a large exposure to oil production. And so I guess to say that another way, I'm focusing on not only countries that export into the United States, but also countries that consume a lot of oil and don't produce a lot of their own oil. For example, Saudi Arabia is a foreign country that exports a lot into the United States. But what do they export? They export oil. So I wouldn't be investing in an OPEC-type country. I'm also trying to seek some diversification. I'm buying some countries in Europe. I'm buying at least one country in Asia. I have made one exception, and I am investing in a North American country that is foreign to the U.S. and also breaks my rule a little bit here because they do get a significant amount of their revenues from the production of oil. But I think that overall, the strong U.S. dollar is going to favor this nation. And right now, I see them as being oversold. And so I'm kind of taking a contrarian play with them. I have also kept at least one of my investments in the United States, and again, I'm taking a bit of a contrarian play there. I think there's a particular sector of the financial industry that's undervalued and oversold right now, and so I did take a position there as well. And just like I did with these foreign countries, I also did that via an exchange-traded fund. Right now, I see so much specific stock risk with the volatility of these markets, and that's both volatility here in the U.S. as well as in foreign markets. I see so much specific stock risk that right now, even though I really love to trade stocks and I normally make most of my equity purchases in individual stocks, because of all this volatility and because of all this uncertainty, I've been playing it a little safer, and so I've been choosing to invest in exchange-traded funds that, although targeted to a specific country or a specific sector of the economy, at least give me the diversification where that investment is spread out over, you know, 50 or 100 companies instead of just one individual company. I think if you're going to invest in these turbulent times, then using these exchange-traded funds at least provides you some level of safety. Well, I think that about sums it up, and you know that although I'm a licensed investment advisor, I can't offer you specific advice or recommendations through this podcast because I don't know your unique individual situation. So I'll just wrap this up by saying that this volatility looks like it's going to persist. We still have several weeks, if not months, to sort out the stronger dollar and the lower oil prices. We need to let things play out. We need to let the oil prices and the U.S. dollar both of those. We need to let them stabilize before I believe we're going to see this volatility subside. So until then, I would recommend that if you're going to invest, you invest with extreme caution, and I'll leave it at that. Now, as always, if you have questions or concerns or you'd like to get in touch with me, you can do that through the website, which is wealthsteading.com. I'm very thankful and appreciative to all of you that have gone out and made an effort to subscribe to the show on iTunes and to leave us a rating and a review there. Now, I do want to mention some of you have asked, some of you that are not familiar with iTunes, it doesn't cost anything to subscribe there. We don't get any kickbacks or anything. This show is broadcast, you know, via iTunes or Stitcher or many other services. They're all free. The episodes are also available for you to listen to at the wealthsteading.com website. So they're all free, and it doesn't really matter where you listen to the show. I just appreciate the fact that you do. However, iTunes is the big gorilla in the industry. And so most people go there, and that means the more of you that subscribe or leave a rating or a review there in iTunes, that just means that the show receives more publicity and it'll attract additional listeners. And that's really the way that we'd like to get this message out and grow the wealth-steading community. So I appreciate those of you that have made those efforts, as well as all of you that have blogged about this show or have mentioned it in social media, like LinkedIn or Facebook. I really, really appreciate that. Thanks so much. Well, until next time, this is John Pugliano wishing you the very best of returns.